Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker. You can also find me on the Game Brain podcast. And joining me is a wonderful, wonderful man. His name is Ronnie Karam. What's up, Ronnie?
What's up, Ben?
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. What a Monday. I'm having a broccoli smoothie. I just pressed reset on my entire life. It's great.
Well, that's wonderful to hear. I'm drinking some iced coffee. I'm starving, even though I had a very healthy breakfast. Well, actually, was it healthy? It involved burrata, but it felt healthy because it was like I made like a caprese and put it on toast. And I was like, look at me being an adult. But now that I think about it, I don't know if it's really that healthy.
Cheese and bread. I don't think that that's healthy, but you know what? A little leaky cheese never hurt anybody, Ben. Well, that's what I say.
It felt healthy because it was high on the Nancy Myers, you know, index, right? So like if you have some, like, here's my theory, right? If you were to have a little crostini with a little piece of cheese on it, let's say some, like a lovely piece of cheddar, like some fancy, fancy cheddar, a little piece, and you have it. It feels special and maybe delicate and lovely. And you're like, look at me having a private moment. But if you take that same crostini with that same cheese and you put it in the toaster oven and you melt that shit and then you eat it, you're like, I'm a slob. And nothing has changed except the state of the cheese. But now it has lost its Nancy Myers index. And now it's just melted cheese on bread. And
why is it the Nancy Meyer index?
Because Nancy Myers, because when you like, I feel like when you engage in Nancy Myers lifestyle things, it's like, it could be a little unhealthy, but it's like really healthy for the soul, right? Like it's like, well, I'm having a slice of chocolate torte, but like this is a decadent moment for me, and it's a special moment, and my general well-being has been improved by it.
Oh yeah, I don't believe that little amounts of things improve you.
Not little amounts. I'm saying the vibe of the amount.
So know? Isn't Nancy Myers a film director?
Yeah, and all her shit is like Meryl Streep in Santa Barbara with beautiful William Sonoma pans. I mean,
bitch got me addicted to chocolate croissants again. Yeah, like re-addicted because I saw that stupid Meryl Streep movie.
That movie. First time I saw it, I was like, this was a surprisingly good movie. And then the second time I saw it, I was like, I fucking hate this movie. I don't know what happened.
Like a regular relationship. Like when you watch a relationship movie, you can only go through it once. The second time isn't as romantic. Like you see all the person's tricks.
Exactly.
You know? Like, ew, Alec Baldwin is naked on FaceTime. Gross. Ew. Where the first time it's like, ha ha ha. And then the second time you just, you know, want to punch your TV.
Yeah. And I think,
but also that movie really began with like Tuscan tile roofs. I remember that movie. Anyway, so you made a chocolate croissant for, I think, Alec Baldwin.
Yes.
And I ate, I think, 30 of them after that. So thanks, Nance. Thanks. Anyway, the point is, Real Housewives of Potomac. Am I right, guys?
That's something that's not Nancy Myers-ish is Giselle's House.
Something I need a ton of every week to make me feel better. Real Housewives of Potomac.
So we do start with Giselle. And she's with one of my favorite friends of Cal. She goes to visit Cal because she and Robin are doing a photo shoot for their podcast, which is called The Reasonably Shady Podcast, because Giselle is the shady one and Robin is the reasonable one, I guess.
Oh, I didn't realize they were putting like an adjective for each of them. That's cute.
There's some like low level Nancy Myers wordplay going on.
Yeah, I mean, it's better than tired and tacky. Just another way they could have gone.
It's a little more apt.
Yeah, and she said, the reason we're doing our podcast is because we did a couple of Instagram lives and, you know, some people chimed in and said, you should have a podcast. I was like, wow. Oh, so we're taking advice from Instagram lives now? Because I'm sure at least half of those people called you the B word and told you to shut the hell up too. So,
yeah.
You know, how do you decide which advice you're going to listen to off an Instagram live?
I feel like those comments were actually sarcastic, like, oh, wow, you guys should have a podcast. And they're like, okay, we will follow that advice. So
she says, my work ethic and her work ethic are very different. So I don't know that Giselle's work ethic is all that great. I mean, I guess she has it more together. She did get her house built and all that stuff. So
yeah,
I'm not really dissing her work ethic, but why diss Robin? Jeez, leave Robin alone, everybody. And that's coming from me. Okay. I've never said leave Robin alone, but just let Robin relax a little bit. She's going through it.
Yeah, she is. So she's hanging out with Cal and everything, and she starts talking about, Jamal and how, she had previously been going down to Atlanta all the time, but during the pandemic in 2020, she only went to Atlanta 3 times, you know, and she's like, you know, you can't really have a long, distance, relationship in a pandemic. Like, how are you going to get free refills, at Arizona when you're in a different state?
Actually, what she said was, you can't have an honest relationship in the pandemic. Oh. And he goes, yeah, you can.
Well, either way,
the pandemic didn't just suddenly make everybody a cheater, Giselle. Okay, like everybody's spouse didn't suddenly just start banging people from their job and impregnating them because there was a pandemic. But okay, tell yourself whatever you need to.
Yeah, well, whether it was an honest relationship or a long distance relationship, Cal's point still stands. Yeah, you can. You can really do that. It's no problem. Well, it's probably annoying, but it's no problem. So,
and so she continues on with her, you know, fake story with him. And you can tell they really haven't talked in a long time because everything she says, he's like, that's not you. Because she goes, well, you know, it's not even sex that I need him for. I just need him to be around. And he's like, Giselle, you don't want people in your face. Like, who are you right now?
Yeah.
She goes, well, okay, not in my face, but maybe 8 minutes down the road. Ah.
That's like her big thing, 8 minutes down the road. Robin thinks, more accurately, that the breakup was going to happen no matter what, but the pandemic just kind of, you know, accelerated it along. Plus, I'm sure also the whole thing about getting women pregnant, that probably accelerated it too. So,
yeah. The pandemic really did accelerate things. Like, I always figured I would gain 100 pounds, but wow, did I know it was going to be within a year?
Thanks, Pammy. Thanks.
Pandemic did so much for us.
So, yeah, really did.
Get vaccinated, everyone. So then Giselle gives an update on Grace, who keeps on failing her learner's permit test, which is the written test. And Giselle goes, she's an embarrassment to the Bryant name at this point. I'm like, okay. Now, I know, like, we could be y'all jokey about this, but please, not when you've got Jamal as the father. You cannot say that Grace is the embarrassment to the Bryant name. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We can't accept that.
Yeah, speaking of, spoiler alert, this episode ends with a preview where Giselle is saying, Karen, I never said I want Ray to die. I want Ray to live. I want him to pay his bills. And then this week it came out that Jamal owes like 800 grand in back taxes. So
whoops. Who would have thought?
Yeah. Who would have thought he was trying to offload Arizona's as a loss so that he would owe less to the IRS? Who would have guessed that?
Oh, Arizona's looked like a bustling restaurant with all the free refills that any child managers could want. So, here's something we need to talk about. Before this, Ronnie and I were like, did stuff happen in Bravo that we should be talking about? I don't remember. Nicki Minaj, this is sort of old at this point, like as in it's more than 48 hours old. But Nicki Minaj declared that she wants to host the Potomac reunion. Do you think that she would be a good host for the reunion?
I don't care. I hope it happens. I don't care if it's good or not. I have to see it. And then that made me just start watching Nicki Minaj clips. Cause you know, I'm a very busy person.
Yeah.
Guys. So I was watching Nicki Minaj videos. I love her. I mean, I've always liked her, but watching that many in a row, I was like, wow, what a classic. What a classic Nicki is. I hope that she does it, but she has favorites, you know? So I don't know. Will she tell off some people and not other people? Will she like freeze and not know what to do? Will Andy be in her ear? I don't know. I need to know.
Will she just make noises when she goes like, brr, brr, or what? Not, she doesn't do that. That's more actually Cardi B. But you know, when she does those, she does her voices, right?
Yeah.
I actually would like it if she did the entire reunion in her voices. Like, I'm Roman. or just have like the entire cast and crew of the Anaconda video there, just like a bunch of shirtless men. It was actually a big week for Bravo crossovers with the world of hip hop and R&B because Rihanna also Rihanna posted on her Instagram, she added Ramona Singer, which is just I know Rihanna watches Bravo, and in my fantasy, she listens to this podcast, you know, because people who watch Bravo tend to listen to our podcast, okay? But this was really...
No, she doesn't.
I know, sorry. She doesn't. I know. But this crossover, like, having Rihanna actually at Ramona Singer about Leah's clothing... was amazing. Like, it's just such a bizarre world we live in, and this is all on the heels of news that Drake follows Lisa Rinna. And of course, now Lisa Rinna is like posting all these dancing videos to Drake, right? Like now being like, I know Drake.
And Kyle, everybody's trying to get Drake to follow them. Like Kyle did a thirsty bikini pic and added him.
It's kind of the most amazing, odd phenomenon that's happened with Beverly Hills this week.
What an odd topic of thirst as we discuss Arizona's refillable iced tea.
To be fair, I think there was a period of time when I tried to get Drake to follow me, but I knew that was like literally never going to happen. But I think that Kyle still has hope.
Oh, Kyle. So let's see here. So they're talking about Mia now and how there's this new girl named Mia and she had her clit done. Nah, please explain that to me. Yeah. And he's like, I haven't seen a clit since the 90s. that still probably makes me slightly more knowledgeable about this cast about clits because nobody seems to know what one of them what they are. I looked it up. It's the little thing that looks like if you put your lips together and just barely stick your tongue out. It's that, right? Like the little ding of the bell. The little thing that makes the bell go ding.
The thing that makes the bell go ding.
Yeah, you know, the stick in the middle of the bell, and like you move the bell and then the stick dongs it.
Oh. That's what I thought the clit was the lips. The clit is the little bell is the pendulum inside the bell.
It's a little bloop. Wait, it's the little wait,
it on. Has its own sound effect.
Mimi makes it. Wait, is that what it is? Because now,
I try not. I've learned my lesson on this podcast that I try not to wade into the world of female anatomy too much because I tend to not know what I'm talking about.
I know, but this is ridiculous. Okay, what is the clit? Clitoris. We're just going to find out. It's the pleasure center of the vulva. Okay?
Okay, so vulva, which I learned
it's right under the Seinfeld. Point where the inner labia meet and form a little hood, known as the clitoral hood, in fact.
Labia was in today's spelling bee on the New York Times, in fact.
It was? Mm-hmm. Okay, and now, of course, I've Googled clit, and now I'm just looking at all these pictures of vaginas. And I just like basically this has made me feel left out. Like I don't have a vagina. I don't see them ever. I don't know. It feels like a whole thing that I've missed, you know, like Cruel Summer. Like everybody was watching Cruel Summer but me. And so like by the time I figured out what it was, it was too late.
I'll watch it.
That's how I feel about the clit.
I'll watch it with you because it's so rare that there's a show.
I already watched it.
Jesus.
But that's what I'm saying. Like by the time I got into it, everybody was over it, you know?
Yeah. I got to watch White Lotus, but I'm so behind on my Love Islands. It's a disaster right now.
Okay. So the point is, Mia had her clit done. No one still knows what it is, including us.
The point is, her bell, her bell was revamped. Quasimodo was like, nice job.
Oh,
So he's like, great day to come into work. So if I were a
ding
bell,
dong.
I'd go ding dong. I know you hate that musical. So yeah, so she says that she got Mia got her clit done. Cal's like, and then Giselle's like, also Mia called Wendy simple-minded. And Cal's like, simple-minded with 18 degrees? No way. He's like, stop. He's like, Giselle, please stop coming in with this this ridiculous line of sentences. Just stop with all these sentences that don't make sense. Okay.
Yeah. Well, we should reach out to her and say, let's go into drinks or something, but on our own. And she goes, okay, I'll text her. Hello, Mia. Chatting with Robin. We'd love to get together for drinks. Without Karen. There, I just said it. Without Karen.
Yeah. And then Giselle says, we all know Karen is not a good judge of character. However, Mia seems nice. So Mia has her pulse on something called discernment. And then we see a flashback of Mia at the first episode saying, I've only known Giselle for very few seconds, but I can tell she has a good heart.
And she's very upfront. I have my client worked on, and I look forward to getting to know her better. Now, let's continue to shoot photos for Tired and Tacky, our new podcast.
So then we go over to our favorite couple, Michael and Ashley. They park in front of a restaurant called Pamplona, and Michael's like, it's a great spot, huh? Don't you like this parking spot I got? I learned about it when I was doing my business and having meetings and appointments and conference calls.
Oh, yeah, you know your guy's not cheating on you when he goes, can I just hook you because you look so beautiful? Okay, you're cheating. Just tell me who it is. She is dressed in Erica's bathroom wallpaper from her new house on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Her
like that
shack.
Palms, that Beverly. Yeah. What is that? I forget the pattern. So they go to dinner floral. And she's uncomfortable because she's like about to give birth to Dean number two.
Yeah.
And so they order and
Michael orders a
He orders a Corona, her favorite. Yeah.
And Ashley goes, well, don't you want like a fun beer? Like, like I'm like, okay. Just because you're in Pamplona doesn't mean you have to just like lean into also like a stereotype that doesn't really quite match it either. Isn't Pamplona Spain? I don't know what was going on.
I don't know where Pamplona is, but I know that they shimmy a lot because she was also shimmying her.
That's where they have the running of the bulls. There's nothing about running of the bulls that goes shimmy, shimmy, shimmy. That's literally how you die.
Yeah, but if ever someone was going to get gored on TV, and then everybody was going to go, well, he deserved it. It would be Michael, this show.
The bulls are running from Michael. Are you kidding me? He just has his hand.
They're running away.
Look at those asses. Look at those bull asses.
They're like, that guy grabbed my balls.
Oh, I did, and I'm very sorry. Run from the guy with the watery eyes.
It's not true, but if it were true, I'm sorry. I'm a joker.
These bulls don't get my joke. I thought the whole point of bullshitting around was that you could do it with bulls. Why they call it bullshitting?
So Ashley's like, oh my god, it makes me fall in love with my husband all over again, that he wants to be romantic. Oh. So it's another season of this fakeness, yeah. Which now I'm just completely used to. So he's like, well, here's what's happening with me, lady about to drop my child. I have started another business. Guess what? Lick lip, lick lip. We're going to do movie production. Lick lip. I'm going to produce some movies.
Because as we all know, the Eastern Seaboard, you know, the sort of the region in between Baltimore and D.C. is known as the Hollywood of between D.C. and Baltimore. Did you know that, right?
Oh, Darby, you're going to make movies? Weren't you in trouble last year for someone making movies of you? Like, I don't know that we need this, Mr. Darby.
He doesn't what do well think with cameras.
He really doesn't. So, yeah, but and someone online, you know, people online were pointing out, he didn't say what kind of movies, which I think is a good point. You know, because I could see him doing like porn stuff, mm-hmm. but a movie, no, sir. Okay. You know, when mediocre people make it like the Vanderpump Rules guy, what's his buns?
Jax. or Peter?
No, he didn't make it. No, the one Lala married.
Oh. I thought you meant like someone who made movies or something. Oh, Randall Emmett. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that someone like that makes it, and everybody's like, I can do a movie too.
Maybe he's just going to do like an instructional movie. Like, this is how you turn on your seatbelt. You get in the car. If there's a lovely woman next to her, put your hand on her breast to make sure they're secure. Then, buckle up.
Oh, so they talk about that. She's like, we're having a baby. I don't know that we need to be spending money on that. So he's like, well, here's what we'll do. We'd be the money behind it, and then we'd find the director and the casting people, and then boom, we've got a movie. Listen, you couldn't make Kangaroo Burgers work, okay? Just leave this alone.
Movies are not that simple, okay? Because we've seen people who have found the money, and they've found the director, and they've found the casting people. And you know what you get? You get the Burbank Film Festival, okay? We remember that. We remember Eileen's movie.
You get Eileen Davidson on a bath mat red carpet.
Yeah. Just because you have all the parts there does not mean you're going to have success, okay?
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So Ashley she just says that she wants to know about the risks because, you know, she wants to have money for their kids and doesn't want to have a bad investment. So he just starts pouring more beer because that will really instill the confidence, right? Someone who's like, well, she's asking tough questions, better resort to alcohol.
That always is a good sign. Really defensive. He's like, oh, so you don't believe in me? He starts all that crap. And she's like, listen, you watery eyed, you know, German Shepherd in need of a lethal injection. You've probably got a good 7 years at the way you live your life. Don't go spending my children's inheritance on some bullshit, okay?
He's like, you know what? I'm teaming up with Jamal Bryant, and together we're going to have a wonderful film company, and we're going to make lots of hit movies. We already have one that takes place in a wonderful casual family restaurant outside of Georgia called Arizona's. All the free refills in the world until one day the free refill machine comes alive. You know what I'm saying? Blockbuster hit.
Our production company will be called Tired, Lazy, and Gropey Max.
TLG. So Ashley's just like, I don't want to draw a wedge. But I can't do Ashley's voice anymore. I just sound like a ridiculous child when I do it.
Although, I never could.
Isn't that, I guess, the point?
I never could. I just go.
There it is. It's more like you got to get that like tinny sound, right? I don't know.
I've never even really tried it. So then we go to Karen. And this time, we're getting some new footage of the DMV area. And now we get, like, rapid rivers. River rapids. Ooh! Speaking of Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
Was that movie?
Yeah, The River Wild.
Yeah, The River Wild.
The River Wild. I'll tell you what's wild. Those deer going down the river. Whoa, it's a deer on a raft.
So, just a deer being hijacked by Kevin Bacon. So, Karen is up. She's cooking. She looks like she has, it's either little steaks or lamb chops, whatever, but she's like trying to open up the plastic wrap. And then she finally gets up. She goes, Victory! Got it open. Oh, and now here's Raven FaceTiming her mother because she loves her mother. Raven, how are you?
Well, Raven, I have a surprise. I'm being sworn in as the ambassador of Surrey County.
What exactly does that mean? The ambassador of Surrey County. Are there like diplomatic relations that need to be tended to with that county?
I think so, because remember last time they showed a clip in case anybody had questions. First, they show her like riding on the back of that convertible going, hello, as people threw candy at onlookers' faces, hard candy too. And then they showed her having a meeting going, well, it was nice helping out. Next, Wi-Fi.
I like the idea that there might be an embassy there, like a Surrey County embassy, and Karen presides over it. And then they could like film Argo there, like the sequel to Argo could take place in Surrey County. I don't know. It's just
a whole building, you know, for Karen to run around and trying to figure out how Wi-Fi works.
The helicopter could like land on the roof and they can all escape out of it. So then She also talks about Raven, and she goes, Raven is living in New York, and she just got her first job as an executive in corporate America, and I'm just thrilled to have her on the phone because she has very little time for her dear little mom. I'm like, she got her first job as an executive. I mean, we know that Karen embellishes, but this is some working girl shit.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what that was, but I know that Raven is very serious because she put her glasses on for this call.
Yeah.
She called and she wasn't in glasses, but she's like, oh, hi, mom. And then put on her glasses. So it's like instantly taking it seriously.
Yeah. And she had like a little blazer on and everything. So Raven has been working in corporate America because she's giving corporate America kind of compliments. She's like, you know, mom, you always read so positive, and I just want to let you know how proud I am of you. As per my previous email, I was wondering if we could circle back to whether or not you and dad could send me a little bit of money. Thank you so much. Looking forward to your response.
That dinner that you've been preparing looks fantastic. Can't wait to see what you and the team did with that. I hope you're going to be ending that with a pie chart. Okay? Be great. Circle back.
Just want to level set about the money you said you were promised you can send me so that way I can pay my rent. Just want to make sure that is still happening. And if not, I'm sure I could find someone else on the team who could help me out with that. Or you could just redirect me to which committee. It's just getting very siloed, and I'm not sure how I feel about that with my rent money. So thanks, Mom. Bye.
She goes, could I have your help with something, Raven? Your father, could you try and get him to up the ring, Raven? Up the ring, Raven. Watch him get me another wedding band.
Yeah. So Raven says that she will help drop hints to dad to get her another ring, et cetera. And then we just see Karen trying to figure out her oven. She's like,
buttons. Oh, we press this button. Oh, there we go. Okay. Raven, I burned the dish. Raven, could you believe it? I'm wacky ambassador to Surrey.
Yeah. So then we go over to Mia pretending that she's been inside of one of her businesses before.
Yeah.
She goes to the joint chiropractic. The joint chiropractic wears one of those huge face shields that don't do anything. Let's face it. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
Walks in and she's like, hi, business. Listen, we're going to do a walkthrough. So let's start at the front desk. Like, ma'am, that is actually a fern.
Oh, all right. All right.
Yeah, she comes from the Bethany Frankel School of Rearranging Brochures equals Business, because that's what she does. Yes. She's like,
okay, well, I'm the boss here, so why don't we put these brochures a little closer, okay? And then I'm going to look at things. Oh, look, it's this computer has a keyboard, am I right? Okay, well, now I'm just going to type on this a little bit and just like mess up your system here. Okay, great.
Yeah. And she's like, so this is how I work the TV, right? She's like, it's a computer.
Right. Well, how do you do it?
She's like, well, everything's very easy to navigate. Look, you came in and I checked your name off. She goes, oh my God, why do you have me as parentheses owner? And she goes, because there's another Mia Thornton. She's like,
we don't know her. We don't know her.
I need to make sure that this business is a well-oiled machine.
What was that?
Well-oiled machine.
Oiled on.
Oiled on. Well, on machine.
So, on my way out, I'll take a pre-rolled.
This is a back place, not a marijuana store, Bam.
We invested wrong.
So, she gets a call from her son, Josh, and she's like, oh my God, Josh, are you going to class? What about practice?
Oh, is it okay if Daddy G takes you to practice? Because I really want to, but when I leave here, I have an appointment, and then I have to prepare for a meeting, with one of those TV things with the buttons.
A computer?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I just don't really mesh well with technology.
So, Gordon's like, listen, I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but this is the third time that Josh was expecting you to take him, and I know he looks forward to it, and I don't mind taking him. Where do they have to take Josh to again? Remind me, Ronnie. Like soccer? Or?
Practice.
Practice.
Gordon, Shush.
Which, by the way, I'm in a practice right now. I can't take you to your practice because I'm in a practice. Businesswoman, how many businesses do you own, Josh?
It's a well-oiled business, okay? So, Gordon's saying that Josh is just looking so forward to mom bringing him to practice. Come on, no kid really cares that much about who takes him to
who
practice.
Who cares? He's going to be scrolling through his phone anyway. That's like crying when you don't get a hot Uber driver. Have I done that? Yes. But it's still not reasonable, and I know that, okay? Have I sat there and canceled Uber drivers until I get a hot headshot? Yes, I have, but it doesn't make it a reasonable action.
Exactly. By the way, I also want to point out that when Mia showed up at the joint, she parked in front of a Kia, and I felt like that was very much a Mia power move. Like, it was, I think that was intentional. Like, oh, you're a Kia? Well, I'm Mia. I'm going to park in front of you and get a better spot.
You may be in front of me in the alphabet, but I'm ahead of you in parallel parking. So suck it.
I just
fuck
don't,
bitch.
I just don't mesh well with Kias, okay?
So I like how G talks to her because he's like, listen, I don't want to make you feel bad, but I do want to alert you to create balance.
Oh, thanks. That's such an Apple Watch thing. Just alerting you, create some balance today.
Fucking useless alert.
She's like, well, should I cancel my work meeting? And he's like, don't get defensive, babe. He's like, well, you know what? Being a boss bitch CEO and a boss mom does cause tension in the household. It's like really hard sometimes to mish being a boss bitch CEO with a boss bitch mom. You know what I'm saying?
I stir pancakes while I talk on the phone. Top that, Gordon. Figure it out. All right.
By the way, I made a joke last week about Gordon's fisherman, and it's Gorton's fisherman. And I just want to say, for those of you guys who are like, there's no Gordon in Gordon's fisherman, I get it now, guys. And I apologize to those, especially to the Gordon's fisherman brand for messing up their name. And,
well, there goes your box of free Gordons.
I will accept the fact that I will no longer be receiving free fish sticks that I never received in the first place.
Oh, so then we go to Robin, who's with Anna, a trainer. And Robin's like, oh, I gained like 14 pounds. Well, you know, I did it because I was like eating, and then I was like staying up till 4 eating ice cream. And it's like, please, that's how we all did it, Robin. Okay. No one has a special way that they did it. Like, I just walked out. I tripped over 14 pounds and it stuck to me. We get it. Okay. Don't make any excuses, girl.
Yeah. We're all there with you, by the way. We are all there with you. So Ascala joins, and she's like, how much definition can I get in my booty from one workout? And Anna's like, actually, you can get like a little bit. It's like, Anna, stop lying. Stop lying. It's not fair. It's not nice to do these ladies. They'll believe you, okay? She's not going to get any definition from work on workout. I'm telling you that right now. So
then Wendy shows up and she's like, oh, it's so cold. And Robin's like, look, I know you got a new body, but you still have to maintain it. And Wendy's like, my silicone is going to freeze. Ouch.
Ow. Owie, ow, 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 ow. So then they bust out the kettlebells and they're all working out, but they're like in furs. It's not conducive to it. So they work out, and then afterwards, like, let's go for a walk. So they're walking along, and Candace calls, and she's like, what are you doing? Professional actress calling in. By the way, I love that there is this burgeoning film industry in that region that exists seemingly only for Michael and Candace. Right, I love that they're following this dream, right? Like, well, we could go to Hollywood where all the production is, but let's make this happen right here.
Oh no, the film changes every year depending on tax breaks, and then every year Hollywood has a new city. They're like, hey, Austin's the new Hollywood because Austin had all these tax breaks, and then they moved it, and then the tax breaks went away because Austin was like, fuck that, we're getting more money, and so then it moved to like wherever. So maybe it's just their turn.
No, I mean, I know it moves around. Like, North Carolina was a thing, Georgia, Louisiana,
yeah, Georgia,
but and Discovery, the Discovery networks are in Silver Spring, Maryland, but I don't know. I always think it's funny. This may be just me being like an LA snob, but like when people talk about like, yeah, I'm producing a pilot, it's like, you're producing a pilot like there? It's like when Kenya did a pilot, or anyone does a pilot. I don't know. Just the inaccuracy of it all, it rattles me.
Hi, this is Tyler Perry. I would like a word, sir. Please step into my office.
Well, Atlanta, Tyler Perry does them. I'm just saying that, like, just doing spec pilots is, like, not a thing. Why do I feel like I'm making this stance and I feel weird about this stance? It's like such an like a non.
Because I think you're sensing the film commissions getting really mad, like local film commissions. You don't want to fuck with local film people. Okay?
I just feel like people are rolling their eyes at me right now. But then I'm also like, I understand. Like, why am I taking a stance about this? I don't know. I don't know why I'm taking a stance on it. But also, why is everyone mad at me about this stance? Why is everyone already so mad at me? This is a stupid stance for all of
us. You're still traumatized by Gortons.
I think I am.
You're still traumatized by the Gortons industry. So
Candace is, I'm moving out of my townhome, so I'm having a peace out pajama jam.
Of course you are. Of course Candace sells her home to some unsuspecting buyers who now have to walk into tiny little flies, the smell of bar rot, and a broken countertop.
Yeah.
Thanks, Candace.
And she goes, I moved into this house in my early 20s, and I'm leaving in almost my mid-30s, and it's definitely closing a really magical, crazy chapter in my life. And then we just see – we don't see the montage just yet. But then Candace starts inviting everyone, and she's saying that she wants to have this party because she wants everyone to get along, which is funny because Candace is usually the reason why no one's getting along.
Yes. And Candace says that she is planning on inviting Mia, even though she has really huge feet. So Candace,
I didn't know
Candace was a... doesn't like Mia because of her feet. So.
I don't know that foot size could be a barrier to entry to a Candace function.
Basically she invites a Skull and Wendy as well, and then Robin's like, well, you know, this is interesting, I need to get a Skull's take on something. And a Skull's like, yeah, that party at the spa, I mean, it was supposed to be about Ashley, but all this drama with Mia, I mean, her name should be Messy Mia because she finds herself in a whole lot of mess.
Yeah. Says Escala, who's actually being kind of messy herself. So then we cut to Mia, who's in her kitchen, and she gets a call from like the door lady, being like, we have a lady down here. She's holding some sort of lamb chop that she burned, and also a bottle of perfume, and saying something about ambassadorship to a country called Surrey. Do you know this woman?
Oh yeah, that's Karen. You can send her up.
What should I tell her about the Wi-Fi?
I'll worry about that. Just send her up, all right?
So she comes up, and Karen's like, come on, diva. Look at this place. It's stunning. It's stunning, this place.
Oh, you got my name on the bread plate. OMG. And where's your fax machine? I'd love to see it.
Karen is starting to sound like sound effects from that movie, The Quiet Place. Have you ever seen that? Everyone has to be quiet because the monsters hear it. They have like super hearing. And so if you make any sound, they'll come hear you and they'll come kill you. And every time the monsters are coming, you know, because you hear like.
Do they really do that?
Yeah.
What an annoying sound for monsters to make.
It's like, just Karen.
Like monsters, but they also have spinach in their teeth.
Like, sliding dentures.
Like, oh, I'm going to eat something, but first I'm going to get this brain out of my teeth. Mm. Doris, can you get this out? Is it gone, Doris? Is it gone? No, Ralph. All right.
I don't know why that's so funny to me. Okay. So
they're like making pilots in the DMV. It's like, you don't make pilots. You're literal monsters. Like, how do you think you're going to get this pilot sold? Okay.
Okay. So Mia has taken a cheese plate and just put a whole loaf of bread on it for whatever reason and wrote Karen's name in chalk. And Karen's like, my name on the bread plate.
Very excited by these luxury touches. And so Mia's, oh, I'm sorry. I wrote,
Yeah. So they start talking about the party, right?
Yeah.
The spa party. And she's like, I thought we were going to go there to celebrate Ashley. And next thing I know, there's like a front desk working on ankles. She's like, that was a massage therapist. Mm, God.
Front desk.
Boss bitch.
Being a boss bitch means that you get massaged by desks. So then Karen says, she's like, well, I felt like they were attacking you because of our friendship. And, you know, Giselle is famous for saying that Karen doesn't have friends, but I'm cool with the girls. I don't have a problem with Robin, except that she does Giselle's bidding. I think she's up her bush.
Don't even get me started on that topic of discussion.
I'm such a boss bitch talking about topics of discussions.
Well, you and Robin haven't had anything, have you? She goes, well, not until a couple of days ago. Dot, dot, dot. You don't have to say dot, dot, dot. Mm-hmm.
No, that's the name of my Roomba. I try to get her to come over to me. Dot, you want to come over, vacuum? Dot, dot, dot.
So, cut to Robin going, well, we had a photo shoot for our new podcast that we're having because it was suggested to us on Instagram, and we decided to invite Mia to lunch. And it cuts back to Mia like, and she said without Karen.
And Karen goes, ha-ha-ha.
And then Ascala's like, you said without Karen? Oh, no. Well, how did you respond?
Okay, here's how she responded. Hi, Giselle. Unless you want to discuss a business, quote-unquote, there is nothing I would like to, quote-unquote, talk, quote-unquote, about. I mean, I just don't understand why she uses so many quotes.
And Mia says, and I said, would you like me to connect you with my assistant to pencil you in this week? And Karen goes, ooh!
And Mia says, well, Giselle was trying to tell me how to maneuver. And if you don't already know, I'm the boss. Well, she knows now.
Yeah, I'm a boss, bitch. I mean, look at my assistant. Look how busy she is.
Well, I believe that's a Vitamix blender, actually. But yeah, she does look very busy at the moment.
So Robin's like, well, I couldn't let it go. So I said, Mia, I'm quite taken aback by your text. I mean, was something done to you?
And she said, at Giselle. It comes back to Mia like, yeah, I said, since my quote unquote message was quote unquote directed to quote unquote you, I apologize if you felt my apology was rude. I was being direct. I'm going to apologize, bread on a stone. Your name's on it, bitch.
When you're a boss, bitch, one thing that you do is you're very direct, okay? Because I'm like a well-oiled machine, and I mesh really well with people who get boss bitches, okay?
So then Robin's like, well, I had nothing to reply back to her. I mean, what is Karen feeding Mia? I mean, we invited Mia because we want to get to know her. We want to let her know about our podcast, which has been demanded by a very, very important unfocused group, okay?
So Karen's like, well, good for you. I'm not saying that decades down the road you won't have drinks with them, 2037-ish, but maybe come at it a different way if that's what they wanted.
And Mia says, she can't put stipulations on who I can and can't bring. That's not what we're doing here, okay, because I use paper clips.
Well, you know that there's a difference between stipulations and staples, don't you?
Of course.
So Candace arrives somewhere with a huge bag, and it's a studio. We get to hear Candace recording her new song.
She's a real Renaissance lady, is she not? So she tells the producer, she says hi to the producers and is like, sorry, Chris can't be here. He's at his catering job. And Candace says, Chris is the person I lean on, not as just like, you know, like, not as just like a husband, but as like part of my team. Like, he's always volunteered and made himself available, you know, to support me. And it's like a lot of work managing me. And like, you know, plus it's like he's working through with all his classes, which are super popular. Just go to, a husbandger who can cook quesadillas with olives on them.com. And you can sign
also
up.
Also, he has a brown dick.com.
And he has a brown dick.com. Oh, he's so busy with all his classes.
Yeah. So then she tells us, last year I planned on signing with Chucky Thompson, but that ended up not being the best fit, mostly because I showed up for our first day of recording and it was actually Chucky, which was scary. This little tiny thing chasing me around with a knife. But now I'm completely supporting my own musical endeavors. And, you know, I've always loved acting, singing, dancing. And now here I am working on an entire album.
I like that she acts like she's winning a Grammy. Like, you're paying for studio time.
Yeah. Things didn't work. It wasn't the best fit with Chucky, which means he dropped it because he realized that this, that there was no future in it. But I did love that all her photos of her childhood from acting and singing and dancing, it's just Candace doing jazz hands. Dorothy, you know, it was like a lifetime, a childhood of, okay, Candace, all right, now do the jazz hands. Like, Mom, I'm trying to do homework. Jazz hands, get the homework done, Candace. Come on, jazz hands.
Oh, so she's like, I want the respect of the greats. And that can only happen if I work hard and prove myself worthy.
Okay, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we go over to...
We have to also talk about her song that she was singing. Because she was singing the song. Oh,
did she actually sing it?
Well, she was singing a song and she was like, she's like, okay, I'm going to get in the booth. And she's like, you must really think I'm playing. And the producer's like, okay, can you give me some of that attitude? You know, give me some of that, like, must really think I'm playing. I was like, oh dear, this production is going to go in a very bad direction between the two of them.
And she did. I can't really tell how Candace sings. Really. We've heard it in the past and it's not been great. So I can't really tell because it's not fair because they're wearing the headphones, but it didn't sound very on key. And he was like, okay, yeah, we got it. So I don't know. She was on Watch What Happens last week. Didn't watch it because I do have lines that I don't cross.
Yeah.
But apparently she was saying that Andy asked her, so, you know, you gave Ashley a lot of trouble about auto-tune, but then you use auto-tune too. What do you have to say about that? And she's like, well, I use it creatively, and Ashley just uses it because she can't sing. She says something like that. And so Ashley was on Watch What Happens last night, which I did watch, and Michael was behind the bar, which is just,
I think I saw ew. A shot of that.
And so, of course, Andy asked Ashley about it, and Ashley's like, that's why I don't like Candace. I mean, just be honest. Like, why can't you be honest? But yeah, so I was a little more aware that Candace was completely off-key, but she likes auto-tune now, so I don't know. What the hell do I know?
I think Candace is in the upper echelon of Bravo singers, which doesn't mean that she's actually any good. She's just better than a lot of the others, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she's no Sonia in Your City, but
yeah, she's no Danielle Staub, but
yeah, keep working on it. So Giselle's Range Rover, I'm so glad to see her out of that little Gucci Mini Cooper thing that she was in. Oh, yeah, so glad terrible. That she ended up giving that to what's his buns, Jamal.
Yeah.
I love the thought of Jamal just being stuck in that stupid car.
That stupid, stupid car. I think we really went in on that car and we had a few people that said, like, oh my God, I have one of those, to which I say, I'm sorry that you chose that car. So Giselle says, it's like I have like random things, like random triggers, muscle cars, Gucci cars. Those are two of my bigger ones.
It's not the Mini Cooper. It's
pilots in the DMV. See, it's all related to the DMV. Speaking of which, by the way, we're at the DMV. we're doing.
Oh yeah, here we are.
It's a meta DMV scene. We're at the DMV in the DMV. And for those who don't know what the DMV is, by the way, not the DMV, but the DMV we keep referencing, because some people may not actually realize. DMV, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, that region. So Giselle's like, well, I'm going to take Grace again for her driver's permit. So she's picking up all the girls at school and, you know, she take them all to the DMV, the Department of Motor Vehicles, for Grace to do her written test. And I was conflicted because in terms of expectations, because I assumed that she was going to pass because this is Bravo and that's what I thought we were being set up for. But I also feel like it's relatively early in the season for a triumph. So I didn't really know how this was going to pan out.
Yeah, I didn't really care. No offense to Grace, you know, but I am thankful that we didn't have to actually watch them do a driving, you know, like the whole mom's teaching you how to drive. So thanks for that. But she didn't pass. So, you know, better luck next time.
It was so awkward because she comes back in the car and she's like all quiet. They're like, did you pass? Did you pass? Did you pass? And the twins are in the back being like, come on, Grace, the joke's up. You passed, right? I mean, you're not going to fail three times in a row. Who fails three times in a row, right? You didn't. Come on, Grace. You didn't. And Grace is like.
Yeah, I know. Adora's like, surely you won't fail again. I mean, that would be the embarrassment to the family. And we're Jamal's children.
And then Giselle's like, did you miss one question? She's like, no. Two questions?
No.
Three questions?
No.
Four questions? Grace is like, And then, you know, Giselle's like saying how she's just going to try to be emotionally available. And then, I don't know if you caught this, but she like turns on the car and she's like, well, we'll just come back again on Tuesday. And she like flares her eyes like, oh my God, what is wrong with my daughter? What is wrong? I felt so bad for Grace.
I didn't, because I live in a town with a bunch of teen, you know, everyone has kids around here. And, you know, I've been stuck in between kids who don't know how to drive yet. And their parents are like, hey, honey, you know what you should do? You should drive the gigantic monster truck. Okay. When you don't know how to drive. I'm terrified of these kids every day. So I'm like, you know what?
Keep them off the roads.
Do it until you get it right.
Well, look, booger. No, I'm just more. I felt bad for her that she had to have this embarrassment on TV. That's all I felt bad for. But I agree with you. Do it until you get it right. Also, I feel like that's, you know, I'm not going to do a hot take about a driver's permit. I'm going to just say, do it till you get it right. But I felt bad that because Giselle's daughters are like, such bright points on Bravo.
Yeah, and to see them, sweethearts.
To see them get humiliated. To see poor Grace, who has the only sense on this entire show and has had the only sense for the past 5 years.
Yeah.
To see her like humiliated and crestfallen, I felt bad for her.
I mean, it felt good to me. But also, you know, you do have the entire small town film commission on your ass. So, you know, you gotta pick your battles.
Just know, Grace, next time you stop at red lights, the answer is stop.
So we go over to Candace's, she's setting up for her party, and she's like, I'm definitely having mixed emotions. In every corner is memory. And we see the memories, the great memories she's had in this house, and crying to Chris after Chris called her a bitch or something.
A brat,
Stole her, a brat, right? And like, what happened? Something with her. Oh, because she asked him to hold her purse in the valet line.
Yeah, and he didn't want to. And then she was like, you hold it. And he's like, you're a brat. And she was like, I can't believe we're at this junction of our relationship. And then there was a flashback of Dorothy yelling at her about who knows what. It could have been the pocketbook. It could have been anything, really. And then the butter knife. She's like, oh, these great memories. Great memories here in this house.
And she's like, townhouse Candace was more rowdy and rambunctious and tethered to my mother. But so far, now it's not like that at all in my own home. We can walk around Betty butt naked and mommy can't say anything to us.
You cannot use townhouse as an adjective to your like mental state. I'm sorry. There is no such thing as townhouse Candace. Like, townhouse Candace is one thing. She was like a pent up beast that needed to be freed. I'm sorry. No, townhouse. You do not get townhouse. It's like you could say, you know, sober Candace versus using Candace or whatever. You could even use like, maybe even Candace in heels. Candace who loved high heels. But I refuse to accept townhouse Candace.
Yeah. A house changes you, Ben. So everybody has to do a shot of fireball when they arrive to show my maturity. So Karen arrives and has to do some fireball. And Karen's acting like, ooh, fireball. What am I supposed to do with a shot? Me, a shot. And so, of course, we get the clip of Karen drinking fireball on last year's trip. Yeah. To the country or whatever, which was hilarious.
You know, seeing Candace in her element of being happily married and, you know, selling the old house and moving on. I mean, she's showing she's really got this. She's got this. What this is, I'm still not quite sure, but she's got it, whatever it is.
Ding dong, ding dong, it's Robin. So Robin comes in and Karen's the only one there, and she's like, Robin! And Robin just looks at the camera like, oh Jesus Christ. Like, she starts walking over there really slowly, refusing to look at Karen. And all the chairs are just lined up against the wall, so it's like a waiting room. They have to sit there.
Yeah. It's like, Robin, why are you wearing, you know, a ball gown? Well, you know, these days my pajamas are my main clothes, so this is not my new pajamas.
So Robin hates her, and Karen's like, so, Robin, what have you been up to? She's like, oh, you know, life in the pandemic.
Juan, wedding with Juan.
It's like, no, Karen, not anytime soon.
Yeah, she's basically like, I don't want to shortchange my wedding. She basically is like, it's a pandemic, and I don't want to, you know, have a wedding that's not up to what I want, right? She doesn't want to have to do like some modified thing because of the pandemic. And by the way, thank you, Robin, for considering that. Unlike Cynthia Bailey, who, you know, was like, whatever, I'm going to have my super spreader event no matter what. So, so Karen's like, well, everyone's still getting married. I call bullshit. Robin's like, I don't give a damn what Karen wants to say about my wedding. If she wants to have a super spreader event to prove after everyone she loves Ray's penis, that's her problem.
So then Giselle arrives. Man, even Giselle's robes suck.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, her fashion extends even to her robes.
Yeah.
It's a Versace robe, like the colors of a Twister, you know, mat or whatever. So she comes in and Giselle goes, oh, look, the hater's here.
Yeah, Karen's like, well, everyone knows who the hater in this group is. She just walked through the door in a psychedelic robe that's fake.
So they're asking about Ashley. Where is she? And Candace is like, oh my God, I forgot to invite Ashley.
Yeah. And Giselle's like, you know that you purposely did not invite Ashley. You have not wanted her in your house since you threw her out.
Well, her cervix is probably dilated so much right this second.
And then so we see Ashley, and she's doing a video, you know, shooting herself basically at home. And she's like, I'm dilating. Yeah. I put Dean's clothes out and now we wait. And then we're back at the
party. Well, her water just broke. She tells us that her water just broke. And then we cut to a close-up of Candace's shot. Like, oh, from talking about the water breaking to Candace holding a little cup of liquid. So then Zen Wen has arrived. And she's like, of course, like, her boobs are just fully out. Happiness are on full display. And everyone's like, ooh, Karen's like, ooh, the boobs are everything. Everything.
And then Escala comes in, and she's last, which is almost last, which is crazy for a newbie. Like, you know, you're supposed to be getting here first, ma'am. You are new.
Yeah.
So they're waiting on Mia. So they start talking about her. And Giselle's like, well, wherever Mia is where she should stay. Yeah. And Robin says, yeah, her text message was so rude.
Well, she talked to me about it. And to be honest, you invited her to cocktails and said, don't bring Karen. And Giselle's like,
I did not. I did not say that. I said, come without you.
Yeah. So basically what Karen just said, right?
Yeah, she's like, I said without Karen because I already know you. The issue for me was that Robin, you know, it was for me and Robin to get to know her, not you, her, not you, her, not you, her. It's like, okay, Giselle. So Karen's like, well, my name shouldn't have been in the text.
And Escala's like, well, maybe she's just intimidated. And when Zen Wen's like, well, according to her, we're intimidated of her. And so then Mia shows up, and Giselle's like, everybody knows about this text. So she needs to come in and correct what everybody knows. Hi. Give a nice Jill Zarin.
Hi. Jiminy Cricket. Hi.
So Karen's like,
well, we were just talking about the text, and we came to the conclusion that the choice of words was improper on both sides. On both sides. I'm like, Karen, please don't do both sides-ism for this text message exchange. I'm like, I've already like lived through the trauma of that. So
Karen, yeah, well, don't worry, she doesn't. She's like, well, I think it was wrong to say not Karen, because grown women don't say that. And she goes, yes, grown women ask who is invited, and I chose the invitation list, period. Oh, well, you didn't say don't bring Candace, or don't bring Wendy, or don't bring Escala. You said Karen. Karen is what you said.
I will own that maybe I was a little aggressive in my response, but I don't allow people to dictate what I do. I'm a boss bitch, and that's why I carry around a typewriter everywhere I go. I was like, no, you're just holding that fern again. You really should put that down.
Don't stipulations me. I'm not going to take it.
So Ascala goes, well, there are a lot of delusions going on, and I can only be silent for so long. What? Be quiet, Ascala.
Yeah, Ascala.
What are you even talking Ascala's about?
Sort of annoying me this episode.
Yeah, instead, and I get it, you know, she's showing up to work, she's putting in the effort, which I appreciate, but Mia, all Mia has to do is what we just did, like, be quiet, who's talking to you? But instead she goes,
Ascala, how many businesses do you own?
Several. Like, oh, it's a business off. And Giselle's like, what does that have to do with anything? Mia's like, well, I'm the CEO and founder of the joint. Okay, I actually founded everyone's bones. Okay, every joint that you have, I found every joint in a door. I find joints. Okay. And so if you're going to tell me you have time for people who come to you and put stipulations on how you move, then dot, dot, dot. Am I right, everyone?
I was the one who discovered that kneecaps are a joint. Actually, they're not. Right, like I just said.
Who the fuck cares how many businesses anyone has in this group?
Do you work in the White House? Because I do. It's called the Joint Chief of Staff, okay?
And Wendy says, when you're in a group of girlfriends, you don't talk like that to a girlfriend, even when we're beefing. And she grabs Karen's arm, like, look at us. Look at me being nice to Karen when I have nothing to gain from her except distributorship.
Yeah. So, yeah, Mia's like, says you, Wendy, says you. So Karen just says, guys, I think that this is not going to get solved here today, but there needs to be individual conversations, okay? So how about we play Prosecco Pong instead, okay? It's like beer pong with Prosecco.
And she says this standing on the countertop. She stands up on the kitchen island. I'm like, can these new owners please get a little respect here? I got so mad for the new owners.
Yeah. So Mia's like, well, Giselle, I think that we got off on the wrong foot. Which is a body part that's similar to the back, except it's a foot. And I know these things because I'm a boss-ass bitch of the joint chiropractic.
I want to make amends, but I'm not God. So I'm just going to have to settle for an apology.
And Giselle's like, we didn't get off on the wrong foot. Duh. I was extremely nice to you.
Okay, well, I got off on the wrong foot.
She's like, well, I didn't have anything bad to say to you. No ill will. Out of the kindness of my heart, I reached out to you.
The kindness of Giselle's heart. She goes, yeah. And so Mia goes, well, what I'm saying is I will try with my deliverance to be better.
Giselle goes, how about you never say that shit to me again? And she goes, no, Dad. Okay. So they're fine now, right? So then Mia pulls the whole,
sometimes I say things that women don't like. Sorry. Sometimes.
Which is just equal to like, everyone's jealous of me. Sorry, honey.
Sometimes I try to enlighten the air around me, but then my deliverance is wrong.
Yeah, sometimes I'm just uncomfortable because I didn't use enough fabric enlightener.
So then they do this random conga line into the living room, and they start playing Never Have I Ever. Someone goes, never have I ever had my clip done. So Mia goes, I win.
Actually, the professional name, pardon my deliverance, is vaginal rejuvenation. And they're like, oh, well, that's different.
Yeah, you literally said clit. I almost got my clit done because you said clit.
And Mia goes,
well, I should have said vagina.
So they're all making fun of her, like what a dope she is. And Robin, to prove that she's smarter, goes,
I mean, I don't know how she had that confused with the clitoronomy or whatever.
So then Wendy's like, never have I ever had a threesome without a wonderful Home Essentials line from Wendy. Never have I ever. And Mia starts to drink, and she's the only one who drinks. So they're like, what, Mia? She's like,
yeah, I had a threesome. It was another woman and Gordon, and I just wanted to watch. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm a boss bitch.
Yeah. And
I just, like, I made her, like, get naked and then move pamphlets from the edge of the dresser to the center of the dresser over and over until I came.
And Wendy says, for me and my chocolate husband, it's me, him, and my wig. No one else, which is a nice foreshadow for the cheating rumors.
Yes. So Mia talks about how transparent she is. And Candace says, if Ashley was here, she would drink with you. Candace, I'm not buying this whole new Candace thing. No. She's such an ass still to me. Candace. She makes me crazy. Yes.
McMansion Candace. McMansion Candace is the same as Townhouse Candace. So then
You're still Townhouse Candace, ma'am.
So then we go over to Ashley, who is crying. She's nervous about going to the hospital. Her emotions are obviously like all over the place right now, because she's like sad that she won't see Dean for a few days, and that like this is, he won't be their only baby anymore. She's just basically like a mess, right? Because everything's just understandable, right? So then 10 minutes later, they're in the car, and Michael's like, all right, we're off, going to the hospital. I hope you don't mind us put up some GoPros, because this is going to be put on the sizzle reel for the film I'm producing here in the DMV, the hotbed of film production.
Just get me to the hospital, Michael.
I'll make it fast and furious.
It's called F9, as in, what the F? Why the F does this cost $9 million? I didn't realize.
And that brings us to the end of Real Housewives of Potomac.
Yeah, so good. It's such a good show. We'll be back on our next episode with The Shahs of Sunset. So look forward to that one, and be sure to follow us on Instagram. We're at Watch What Crappens, and on Twitter, we're at What Crappens. And we'll catch you in the next episode.
And bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C. Dana Do.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya. The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Better Than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie. Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Erica 500 Days of Summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters. Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell. Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Coutar. We love you guys.